remember standing in the room with my father as he passed. To know that the angels of the Lord were near me and around about me. That's as close as I get in this life of being that close to God in the human stage, but to have your Son be the Son of Man. To be entrusted, each of them was, if you had children, have been entrusted with the life of a child that is God's child. You are just allowed to raise it and bring it up in the ways of the Lord. And I'm very honored that God allowed me to do that once. To bring up the Son of Man. No doubt, since she was a child, been taught about this one that would come someday. This one that was going to come, that was going to save all the people save the people. That he would be born of a virgin. How honoring it would have been that God would have picked you. I can't imagine. Just can't imagine. For Jesus to be able to die on the cross, he had to be born. Reading the Bible, Christmas is not really laid out as a holiday that they talk about much, or, you know, many of our holidays will lead back to some other ancient holiday or feast, but Christmas isn't one of them. It's one that we've made up along the way that I believe the birth of our Christ and our Lord and our Savior deserving of a holiday. We should be thankful. We should be thankful that God loved us enough to do that. Right. We should be thankful that he cared for us enough, even though through our evil sin that we may do, he still sent his Son for us. Yeah. My mother, I remember her going to work. She worked at the city county building. She worked in the welfare department. She had a little pin that she always wore. It was a little white pin. She had it on her coat. And it said, Jesus is the reason for the season. Mm-hmm. This world has forgot about that so much. I never want to lose that idea. No. This season, there it may be not exactly a biblical practice. I know that this is a season to remember that the birth of my Lord and Savior has come. And as we read today, this morning, in Matthew, you can read it also in Luke, and I remember watching as a child and in growing up and watching the Charlie Brown Christmas. And yes, it was a cute cartoon, and it was a good story, but as I got older and I started looking and thinking and seeing how the world came, at least for a 30-minute little cartoon, they heard God's word.
Amen.
As he goes through the Luke and talking just straight from the Bible, that the whole world was hearing that. Yeah. And they may brush it off. They may just scoff at it. But maybe there's one that didn't. Right. Maybe there's one. And I don't want to limit God. It could have been everybody. But all the time we often think, just one. What if what I could do just helps this one? What I should really be thinking is I hope I can help millions, because God can. Amen. And I pray that I can be the tool that he needs and do what he wants me to do that might just be able to help somebody. That's my prayer today. Very thankful for the service thus far. Anytime I can have God bubble up in me, it makes me, I don't care where I'm at, I'm happy for it. Mm-hmm. I've been on the mower and had God come on me there and had to come off the mower to come inside to study or read something. And I'm thankful that God does that. And it doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. If you want to open your heart up, God's ready to talk to you. I'm so thankful for that. God's pretty special. As I kind of said in Sunday school, I wanted to preach out of Matthew and Luke this morning, and God told me to change it, and I didn't understand why, and I know why. My thought that got going, and as I studied this and got to this and that verses, and I looked, and my whole thought came down is preparing to battle the devil. We have to be prepared to battle him. And I look at it today as I go through it, as I wanted to preach about Christmas, and yes, that's great and wonderful, but we're going to be out there fighting the devil and his demons. And, you know, God's everywhere. God's, I mean, in any place you can be, any area, any height, any elevation, any farther down you want to dig down in the coal mines, he's there. The devil isn't. The devil's not God. He can only be in one place at a time, but he has many demons and angels that demonic angels that go with him that can also go about and do his work, but they're not everywhere like God is. What we have to understand, at the end of time comes, God wins. The devil's not bigger than God. He tried to be. He thought he was. And when God has to show his power, he does. And he showed the devil exactly what he was and cast him out. And I believe the devil is angry. I believe the devil is a jealous angel that came about that thinks he's bigger than he is. And when God threw him out of heaven, he realized that he wasn't as much powerful as God. And I believe that he goes around and he wants to mess up God's actions any way that he can. And if that means that we go to Christmas and we want to buy this and buy that and see this and see that and all the pretty lights that there are, and it takes us away from Jesus, the devil's winning. I want to see Jesus. I want to come to Christmas and see the beautiful Christmas tree. And I know they've made up different things to say, well, the tree's really, it's an evergreen. It's always alive. And that's Jesus and that's God. And that can always great and sounds good. What really matters is the birth of my Savior. That's what I'm celebrating. That's what I'm thankful for when it comes to Christmas. And we can talk about the presents and all that. And then do we get overboard? Yes, I do. We've talked about things to get the boy and, you know, jerseys and things that don't really matter. When we come together and we sit there and we talk and we pray and say we're thankful for the Lord and Savior. Yes. That's what this is. And we need to be ready when the devil comes at us. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. And I haven't really preached this too much. It's the full armor of God. You've heard it many, many times. And I just want to go through it a little bit. And because if we're going to be going about our ways and during this season and any season, we're going to be facing the devil on every turn or one of his demons or whatever it is. And sometimes it's ourselves that gets in our own way. We always want to put all the blame. Well, devil did this, the devil did that. Sometimes we just mess up. It ain't got nothing to do with the devil. It's on us. There's many times that I can say that I should have done this and I should have done that, but the devil didn't let me do it. No, maybe I'm just lazy. And I am. It's not maybe. I am. I think I heard too loud of an amen from my wife. I'm going to be in the 6th chapter of Ephesians and starting in the 10th verse. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taken to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking a shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication to the Spirit, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication of the saints. I think I messed that all up and skipped a verse. And 17, and take, no, I didn't, I did swear with that. There, in this, it talks about an armor of God that I know we've heard many times, and I don't know how many times you've went through it, but it's good to remember that all these things are there, and I got something this time that I read it, and that I never really thought about before, but we know we talk about the loins girt with truth. This Bible that we have is truth. Why is it truth? Because it's the Word of God. If we go out and about any kind of Word of God that we have, whether it be directly to us, and I have talked to God this morning, and I've talked to God this week, that Word that I got from God is truth. He will never deceive you. He never has, and He never will. And He promised He wouldn't. That is what the devil and his demons do, and sometimes it's what we do to ourselves. We lie to ourselves many times, thinking that we're better, usually we're better than we actually are. But the truth comes, and the truth is the basis of everything. The word that God has given us is how that I know that I'm saved. The word that God gives me tells me that I know what I should be doing. It is our basis that we can go off of. And I'm going to tell you, it is the only truth in this world. I love my wife dearly. She'll lie to me from time to time. She may not mean to, but she does from time to time. Sometimes she doesn't tell me the whole truth, and I do the same. But you know what? God has never lied to me. Ever. He's never told a white lie. He's never fibbed a little bit. He's never tried to exaggerate the truth. All He has ever done is told me exactly what I need to hear. And it's the loins that it talks about here, and what they're talking about is most of the men in those days wore long gowns, and when they were ready to go to work, or when they were ready to go to battle, they would take that belt that they had that covered their basically lower back, and they would take their long gown robe and tuck it up into that belt, and made them ready to work. It made them ready for war. It made them ready to fight. It wasn't going to hinder them. It was a way to take the hindrance out of any kind of movement that they had. And it was also that belt that they put on, and they talk about being loins, which covered the lower back in the groin area, but it was a belt like we wear, but all the other pieces or other pieces of the armor hooked to it. It was the basis. So when the next pieces come on, you can hook on to the truth. You can always latch on to the truth, and you'll be better for it. But we want to be prepared to fight the devil. That's our first thing we need. Then the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I'm sure we've all talked and looked at it and thought about it, but it was just a covering over the breastplate, over the midsection, the torso, and it covered the vital organs. Mainly the heart. And it went down and it clipped onto the belt so that it could be held up and then tied in the back. And it was able to keep the heart safe during battle. That breastplate in spiritual time is trying to keep your heart safe from the devil. We don't have to worry about him taking over that. We know that God's taking care of that when He saved my soul. That I don't have to ever worry about the devil coming in and taking my soul. Goes on to talk about that your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel. The gospel of peace, sorry. Well, what is the gospel of peace? I believe it's the good news. It's the good news that Jesus has came and died for us on the cross so that we may be saved. That we may be saved from what? Our sins. We may be saved from going to a devil's hell. We can be say the gain is heaven, but we have sinned against God. Jesus came so that it may be fixed. And so many times that I do at least, I look at, you know, I'm so glad that I was saved so I can go to heaven. I'm so glad that I was saved so I don't go to hell. What I should be glad for is that he came to cover up my sin so that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God can look upon me and say he's one of mine. Yes, there are benefits to that. He walks with me every day. All I got to do is look for him. I need to go to heaven when this life is over. I don't have to go to hell. Those are all great things to add in there. But the main thing is that when God looks at me, I'm clean. Not because I did anything, because of Jesus poured that over me. So when I go around, I need to be ready and prepared to tell everyone how good Jesus is. That they do not have to go through life without him. And the problems that we're coming into today, it's even more as people have been deceived for so long, thinking that they have what Jesus brought for them. And with all they're getting is what some man has given them. And it may come down to an emotion, or they want to do some kind of action, and it says clear that you cannot earn or act upon your salvation that you has freely given to me. And they've been taught that, you know, hey, I raised my hand during a funeral, so I'm saved. I've been to funerals where they asked us to do that. If you believe you're saved because you raised your hand at a funeral, I'm going to talk to you. Because that's not how I was saved. I had to have a broken heart. Now, it may have happened. I'm not saying. You may have been saved during that way. I'm not going to limit God that he can't do it that way. But if you don't have a broken heart, if you don't know that you're lost, it takes more than just a raising of a hand. It takes a broken heart. Amen. We have a shield of faith. With the Roman soldiers that were in that time, they had their shields and they covered them with animal skins. And before they would go out and fight, they would dip them in water, which made them wet. Because they would shoot fiery darts or arrows with fire on them so that when it hit, it would extinguish and wouldn't catch fire. They were prepared. They were ready. We need to be ready. The faith that we have, and then this is probably the one that I lack the most of the time, is I should have faith. That means and we can go through the regular old definition that we always say is a belief in something without seeing, or belief in something without seeing. I believe the air is in here. I can't see it. I have faith that it's here. There's lots of things that I will never see, but I have faith that they're there. And there's plenty of conspiracy theorists. The moon. I never saw anybody walk on the moon. Never have. I've seen some videos that may or may not be, but I think they did it. I believe that. I have faith that they actually walked on the moon. And they can try to disprove it, and maybe they will someday, but right now, I put my faith in that they did. I put my faith in God because I know what he will give me. I know what he has given me. And I've experienced that, which makes my faith a little easier because I've already went through that. But when I was lost and looking to find him, and I struggled for years, I lacked faith that he would save me. I lacked faith that he had to do it on his own. Not me with any part of it. Because I wanted to help. I wanted to try. I wanted to do what I could do. And growing up in this way of life, or this religion, this type of way of worshiping God, I knew all the catchphrases. I knew what I had been told since I was very young, that when I got time to be finding God, I needed to pray to him and ask him to save me. And he would. Well, I did that. I got down on that altar many times and said, please, God, save me. You know what? He didn't save me. So the Bible's a liar. That's what we've been taught. It's all a lie. No, you have to have faith that he can save you. When I finally got to the point where I knew I couldn't do it and that God had to, I was saved just like that. It's a very easy, simple thing to do. You've got faith. I made it very hard. We have to have our faith in God that will protect us. He will protect us all along the way. The helmet of salvation. I would say that most of us in here, on a daily basis, most of our sin comes from right here. I'm not out killing anybody. I'm not out doing most of the anything illegal. It's not things that I've done. But guess where I am weak? In here. I have it here. I have that salvation in my soul, and I know it. But here, I get a little weak. I get a lot weak. The helmet of salvation comes when we put our full faith in Him. The helmet protects our head, and we need God to protect our thoughts. Because if we get under the world and we start thinking different things that are against God's word, we're going to get in trouble. But on a daily basis, I'm asking God to forgive me for my thoughts. Amen. And thankfully, He is a merciful and gracious God, and He does. Amen. I've struggled for years for some things and trying to ask God to forgive me, and He has, and He does, and we have to make sure we forgive ourselves sometimes. Because when God forgives things, they're gone. That's hard to understand that God forgets our sins when He forgives them. And just like when we forgive people in life, we should forgive and forget and be done with it. Our God is pretty special in that way too. I have a hard time with that sometimes. I'll forgive somebody and say I forgive them, but you know what? To hold a little grudge. That's not right. And the last piece is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, which ties back into truth that comes from the Word of God. It's the only piece of the armor. Now, we've said it many times, and we've always joked about it. You know, this is our sword. We'll go up and hit people, and then you hit with the sword. The sword was the only piece of the armor that was used for defense and offense. It was used to protect you and was also used to go out and hurt and cause pain and inflict wounds to the enemy. And doesn't the Word of God do that? Reading this Word, I have learned many ways that God has told us. He has many things that He expects of His children. And that's in the Word. That's my defense. That's me learning to do better. But He also gives us everything we need to go out into the world to tell them Jesus is God. Jesus has come. Jesus has died on the cross for you. It goes both ways. It protects me. It goes out into battle with me. Sword. So he goes through all those things, the pieces of the armor. But the thing that I really went back to and it got my attention was earlier in the section I read in the 11th verse. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. I missed that. Many times that I've read through that. That we may be able to stand up for God. We're not standing up to a devil that's going to lose in the future. We're standing up in a victory. Whether it's there or not yet, it's going to be. God will always have the victory. Now, I love that it says to stand. I don't know if there's a much better place that I enjoy is my recliner down in the basement. Ask my wife. That's where I'm at most of the time. I'm sitting down there watching TV, playing games, playing on my phone, asleep. You know, I'm in that chair. I love that old chair. If I want to get some work done around the house, if I want to get my chores done that my wife may tell me she needs me to do, if I want to go out and mess in the garage and build things, guess where I can't be? In that chair. Guess what I got to do? I got to stand up. If I want to get to work, I got to get up and get moving and do things. Sitting down and being lazy in that chair, I'm not doing any good for anyone. Except for the few times that I'm reading and meditating, which I do there too. But most of the time, I've got to stand up for God. One of my favorite verses about the devil, at least I guess it is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And I liked it before, and I read some more on it, and I like it even better now. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." It's almost a perfect representation of the devil. I read up on it. I got to looking at some different articles of what professionals are people that know, I guess. It's how lions work. A lion's lungs and heart are really undersized for its size body. So when it goes and finds prey, if you look at a cheetah, it will run down the gazelles and the antelope and things like that. It can run them down. A lion can't do that. He can only go at a full sprint for a very short period of time. So if he doesn't get them quick, they're gone. But what a lion has adapted to do to understand how to hunt its prey is it studies the prey. It's a very intelligent animal. And it knows that, finds the sick one, it knows which one's the sick one, the one that's maybe had a bad leg. It knows. And then it sets up and basically devises a plan to get to that sick one that's going to be easier to catch. And it sneaks up on it. Doesn't come out just like a lion roaring and going at it. It comes in from the in the tall grass and comes up to it. And then usually it'll get it into a bad spot so that it can attack from an angle that that animal is really not expecting it to come from. I'm going to tell you, that's the devil. 100%. He comes at you from ways that you don't know. He will come at you out of this grass that seems like a good place to be, and then suddenly, he's on you. And as I read even more on him, now I've never been attacked by a lion. I hope I'm never attacked by a lion. But if I want to fight off a lion, it said what I should do is stand up and jump around and make noise. Because if a lion is going to come and attack you, it jumps, it opens its underbelly up, which makes it very easy to get to the vital organs. So usually they don't do it until they got it down. The devil's going to attack us. He's going to. His demons are going to attack us. We've got everything we need from God. He's provided the word. He's provided the way. He's promised he would be with us. So what do we have to do? Stand up. And watch what God can do through us. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can't defeat a lion. Samson couldn't defeat a lion either. Through God he could. With God he could. I love that when you read the word, I can read it about a lion that they talk about then. And I've been in Africa. We went on a big safari that was, I don't remember how many thousands of acres of open land for these animals to roam free, and they're allowed to do as they want. But see that big lion up under the tree? I remember we only saw one set, I think. They're amazing looking animals. They're very powerful. They're scary. When you don't have bars between you. We were just in a car riding, but he was asleep. He was still kind of scary. Because we've seen, you know, the things that they can do to animals. I've watched, my dad watched all the animal shows back when I was a kid. It's like his dad watching something kill each other again. But that's what we watched a lot, is watch the animals go at each other. And watch the circle of life that God has put in place that has got them along even till today because of how God set it up. And the lion, being what they say is the king of the jungle, can be tamed by God. So let's stand up for God. Let's be prepared. Let's not try to go into a battle that we have no idea what we're doing. I didn't ever went into a football game without practicing. I never went into a football game without knowing who my opponent was going to be. When I got into college, I watched film and got myself ready to be able to go against the guy ahead of me. I would know if he was, you know, I knew, you know, he's skinny and faster. It means I had a hard day. If he was a big guy, I was okay. I could usually belly up with him, and I could out-handle just about anybody. But I would watch film and see what his moves are, because in the guys that I would go against, some of them would do a swim move, which maybe not know, but it's a different kind of move that they do, or they might do a rip, which is another kind of move they do, or they may go a submarine, or they have tendencies. I wanted to win, right? I mean, I wanted to come out on top. So I studied. I prepared myself to go into battle. We're going into battle every day. Every day we go into battle with the devil, with ourselves, with many other things that aren't God or uplifting to God. So let's make ourselves ready. That's my message today. I'm thankful that God is bigger than I am. Amen. I'm thankful that He is corrective in nature. But know that He loves me because He does correct me. But also know that as I stand, He will stand with me. So I can go boldly and talk about this Bible and talk about God. I can go boldly and say it because if I'm talking about the Bible and God, I can go boldly because I know it's true because it says it in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't have to second guess myself if I'm prepared. I don't have to ask questions about what if I'm understanding if I've already read it and understand it. So let's get prepared and stand up for God. Anything on anybody's heart this morning?